This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block. 31 years after his death, Jamaican singer Bob Marley is an industry. His most popular album has sold more than 10 million copies, and he's been used to brand everything from clothing and coffee to his own museum and a resort in the Bahamas. But he's also still something of a mystery. A new documentary, simply called Marley, was authorized by the singer's family, and as Boz Dreisinger reports, it was meant to separate man from myth.
Do you know Bob Marley? Sure you do. Maybe you're among his 33 million Facebook and Twitter followers. Maybe you own a Bob Marley ashtray, or one of 400 or so books about him. And you definitely know this tune by heart.
One love.
But the singer's son, Ziggy, has news for you. You don't really know Bob Marley.
Over times, he has been summed up to be like the ganja-smoking reggae singer who, you know, is all love and peace, which is a part of it, but not the full story. You know, Bob is a revolutionary, so there's more to him than the smoking weed, love and peace. There's the other side of him.
That other side is what Ziggy Marley set out to capture in the film Marley, which he executive produced.
Being Bob's eldest son, I never read a book that anybody wrote or watched really anything that anybody did on Bob, you know, because I was like, who are these people? You know, what them know? So I reached a point where I felt like, all right, to represent my father properly, I need to be involved in a definitive thing.
Ziggy enlisted Scottish director Kevin MacDonald to make that definitive film. MacDonald is best known for his features, including The Last King of Scotland. The filmmaker recalls his first meeting with Ziggy Marley.
You know, he said, what kind of film are you going to make? I said, I don't really know, but I just want to make a film that's about the man behind the icon. You know, we're all so over-inundated with Bob Marley imagery and the sort of commodified version of Bob Marley. His music is everywhere, and yet I never felt like I knew who the man was and what was he really singing about.
Can any film really capture the man behind the myth? It's a daunting task, and MacDonald isn't the first to attempt it. British director Jeremy Marr made several documentaries about Marley and explains that there's precious little interview footage of the man himself. The Jamaican Broadcasting Commission even recorded over early footage of the Wailers because the broadcaster was short of tape.
He's a tough one. He's very difficult to read. He didn't give much away. He gave few interviews. He was deliberately obscure in many of the interviews. So how close can you get to the real Bob Marley?
The new documentary relies on other accounts. Interviews with everyone from Marley's mother, his wife Rita, and two of his 11 children, to his only surviving original bandmate, Bunny Wailer.
We used to listen to groups like Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, the Drifters, the Platters. So there was a recruitment process taking place. Myself and Robert started to put the group together.
There are also interviews with several girlfriends and the mogul who took Marley mainstream, Island Records chief Chris Blackwell. Kevin MacDonald calls his film an oral history.
Bob's voice is quite faint in the film, but through these different voices around him, you build up, hopefully, a rounded portrait.
Those voices, though, are not foolproof. Christopher Farley, author of Before the Legend, The Rise of Bob Marley, says sifting through accounts of the singer is quite a feat.
Well, here's the thing with Bob Marley and with almost any famous figure. When you go back and talk to people that knew them way back when, everybody feels like they were an important part of their lives. Like, oh, I taught him how to play guitar. Oh, I helped him write his first lyric. Or, you know, I helped him eat soup first. You know, everyone sees them at the center of the great man's story. And sometimes it's very sincere, sometimes to the best of their knowledge of being honest, but not all of it is true.
Farley's book proved that there were still revelations to be had about someone as over-documented as Bob Marley. Much has been made of the singer's mixed-race background. His teenage mother was black, and his father was always thought to be a white Jamaican in his 60s. But Farley asserted that Marley's father was racially mixed, not white. McDonald's film puts this other side of Bob's family on camera for the first time.
I said to Sadella Marley, Bob's eldest daughter, I said, you know, I really want to talk to the White Marleys. Where are they? And she said, oh, I know them. They're our cousins, yeah. We used to live next to them when we lived in Kingston. So she gave me the number, and I phoned them up, and one of them was willing to talk.
In the interview, Peter Marley, Bob's second cousin on his father's side, addresses the time Bob walked into the family construction business seeking money from his relatives, who rejected him. Bob wrote the song Cornerstone about that rejection. You're a builder, baby. Here I am, stone. Don't you think and refuse. Cause the things people refuse are the things they should use. Do you hear me? Other candid moments in the documentary include Rita Marley's admission that she was less of a wife to Bob than a guardian angel, skilled at ejecting girls from her husband's dressing room.
By that time, I was past the surface of being just a wife because of the importance of who I knew Bob is. I didn't see it as a fun trip. We were on a mission. It was like an evangelist campaign to bring people closer to Jah.
Director Kevin McDonald says such moments prove that although his film is authorized by the Marley family, it's no whitewashed portrait.
You only have to see the film to see that they're not being very protective because there's a lot of stuff which one would think Rita might find difficult to do with other women in Bob's life, and there were many, many of them.
Authorized or not, the new documentary does not solve the biggest mystery about Bob Marley. Who was behind the attack on his life in 1976, when bullets were fired on his Kingston home? Theories range from Jamaican political party's gang enforcers to the CIA, anxious about Marley's influence. Unsolved mysteries like that, says author Christopher Farley, ultimately fuel the Marley industry.
That, again, is part of the fascination with Bob Marley, where no matter how close you get to him, like those mountains in Jamaica, shrouded by mist, you keep walking towards them. They're still shrouded by mist. There's still more to find. There's still a path you need to go up to get higher up, to get past the mist. And Bob Marley's sort of like that. This mountain is sort of always receding into the mist.
And that adds up to good news for authors and filmmakers. When it comes to Bob Marley, it seems, there's no such thing as the last word. For NPR News, I'm Boz Dreisinger. I'm a rebel. So rebel.
But see the morning sun.